B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We get back to your phones on the LeBron stuff, the baseball stuff, even the Bruins if you want. We'll just reset where we began with the big boy, Greg Bedard, whose father got all sorts of pissed at Maz over the weekend. Bedard's old man on Twitter following Maz.
Big daddy.
When Maz tweeted out again, maybe put up on the simulcast again, said something to the effect on Sunday morning that Belichick and Mike Vrabel are ruining the league.
Screwing up the NFL.
Screwing up the NFL.
Yep.
And Maz said it sort of half in jest.
Yeah, I was trolling.
But I don't know. How's that really a troll job?
Yeah, I was trolling just to piss people off.
It sort of feels like fact to me.
And it worked.
It feels like fact. They screwed up the NFL schedule, those two. Belichick and Vrabel are screwing up the NFL, says Maz on Twitter.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They screwed up the schedule. It's those two teams. Like, fact. It's not a troll job. It's not opinion. That's fact.
That's a little bit of a troll job.
I mean, it's a little strong to say they screw...
By using the coaches' names, it's a little trolly. But if you said Patriots and Titans, it's 100% accurate.
They're screwing up the NFL schedule. So saying they're screwing up the NFL, okay. But those two teams definitely screwed up the NFL schedule. And again, folks, I would just say it. If it were the Jets and the Raiders were the teams that had the outbreaks, were the teams that had the players that landed on the list that caused the league to postpone games, move back games, refigure the whole schedule for 8 different weeks into the future with 4 or 5 different teams. If it were the Jets and the Raiders who were responsible for that, you would say without impunity and with no second guessing in your heart, you would say those two teams are screwing up the NFL schedule. So now it's you and the Titans. Same thing. But you just can't, because you just can't take it. You can't look at it objectively. It's like, no, Goodell's screwing you over. The league's screwing you over. They're at fault. Their protocols are at fault. The locker room in Kansas City was too small. Like, that remains the most laughable one. So, like, this is my thing. It's like, just...
Stop whining.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Please stop whining. The whole issue began with Cam Newton getting COVID. That's where it started. And if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't have run into any of this. And if it were another team that was forcing you to redo your schedule, you would say that team is screwing up the NFL schedule. I don't know if you'd say they're screwing up the NFL like Maz did, so that is maybe a little trollish. But what it's Twitter. What are you supposed to do? That's my take. Maz had a problem with the Globe column today. Tara Sullivan writes, in brutal year, Belichick rises to the occasion. Here in 2020, in the year 2020, 21 seasons into his tenure in New England, writes Sullivan, Belichick may be doing the best coaching job of his life.
Okay, I know. So that line got me too, right?
I mean, I don't know whether a line there is. I mean,
I can give you a whole paragraph.
I mean, I can't read anymore.
So first of all, I think Belichick has done better coaching jobs than this. I think, you know what, again, I disagree with Tara on this point. So let me just tell you that. To call this the best coaching job of his career, I think, does a disservice to some of the other years where he did great coaching jobs. Most notably and most recently, 2018.
Right.
I mean, that team wasn't very good. They won the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. So I give him all the credit in the world for that one.
What has he done? I mean, he's a great coach. I think he's doing another great coaching job. But, like, sort of related to the COVID thing. How is that? What has he done?
I don't know. I mean, they lost at Seattle. They lost at Kansas City.
Well, no, but I'm talking about...
And I understand that the dire, tough circumstances.
I mean, I don't have the heart to read it. I can't...
Okay, so and I like Tara, by the way. I've known Tara a long time. Okay, so I disagree with the premise. I respect her work. I'll say that up front just to get it out of the way. But this paragraph caught me because I think it's reflective of what is a bigger issue. Though he wouldn't divulge any input he gave the league regarding his team's outbreak... avoiding, as he said, the potential for being, quote, taken out of context. Belichick has been vocal during calls with league officials, unafraid to express his strong belief in the importance of social distancing, mask wearing, and any other protocols that can help contain the spread of the virus. He has put plenty of action behind his words, too. So now we have Florence Nightingale roaming the sidelines here at Foxborough Stadium or at Gillette Stadium. Florence freaking Nightingale on the way to aid all those who are afflicted. Let's just the mother of nursing.
Did he tell Cam Newton?
No, seriously. That's what he is now. He's now solely interested in the well-being of his players. Running around with his little box in his hand and his first aid kit, making sure everybody's got bandages and thermometers and the whole nine yards. Florence freaking Nightingale coaching the Patriots. That's what this is.
So they pushed back about playing the last two games. So he pushed back and tried to get out of playing the last two games where he was going to be without his best offensive player.
Correct.
And this last week, his best offensive and defensive players.
So this is the one that bugs me, that all of a sudden Bill cares about the health of his players more than he does winning.
I think he cares about both.
Okay, he does care about both. But like, it feels like this is to the point where he's willing to go 0-16 to prove that he... And no, he's not.
No,
he's not. Let's not go that far.
He wanted to cancel the games and get his good players back.
Let's not forget that this is the guy who sent Ted Johnson back onto the practice field before he was ready to compete. Okay? So again, and I'm not making Bill out to be any different than any other football coach. I think a lot of them would have done that, but that's how the football world operates.
How do you think Gronkowski and his family felt that Bill always had his health and wellness at heart?
No. Because no football coach would.
And so maybe Gronkowski's were wrong or high maintenance, but I'm sure there's a lot of former players who've come through there, like Ted Johnson, like Gronkowski, who say, oh, wait, now he's worried about the health and safety of the players?
Exactly. Since and by the way, I would say the same thing about Bill Parcells, by the way.
I'd say the same about most coaches.
Just about all of them. And the ones that I wouldn't say it about probably have the same record as Gus Bradley. I'm not joking. I think that, so there's a certain requirement in that league to power through stuff. And Bill encourages his players to do that. I get that. But now all of a sudden, I think this is becoming a story that is something altogether different. That Bill somehow is this bastion of humanity and integrity and was willing to go 0-16 to preserve the health of his football team.
No, he was trying to get out of playing the games in which his starting quarterback would not be available. Makes him smart.
I mean, I think that that's really what it was. Again, this is a guy, and we touched on this yesterday, who typically says to his players, no distractions, don't focus on it. Bad weather, I'm going to squirt water all over the football during practice because I don't want you guys sitting there and obsessing over it when it happens in the game. When we go to Denver, we're going to add air to the football. When you go to a place that we're playing in 5 degrees temperature Fahrenheit, we're going to take air out for the kickers because you're not going to be able to kick it very far. So he preps for everything. He avoids distractions.
Let me ask you.
Now all of a sudden going to this game, it was, you guys have complaints. I hear you. You're right. Let the league know.
And it's a perfect sleight of hand, too, because any of us that want to question this or say that this is what he was doing, just try to push it off a week so he can get his quarterback and best defensive player back. Because of the oversensitivity to the pandemic, you get painted an a-hole. So, like, why would he do that? You think he doesn't care about the players? Shame on you. Shame. Shame.
We're used to it here. I don't mind.
I certainly don't care.
We don't mind being the bad guy. But, I don't believe that Bill doesn't care about their health and well-being. I think he cares.
No, I'm not telling you it's zero.
And look, I think that he, in the past, had moments he may want back, whether it's with Ted Johnson or Rob Gronkowski or someone else, and all football coaches push their players onto the field. I think Bill does care about his players. I think he does listen to his players. But it sure is convenient. It sure is convenient when it coincides with trying to postpone games in which your starting quarterback's not available. That's sort of a nice coincidence for Bill. So it's easy to be on the right side of it when your starting quarterback's unavailable. Let me ask you this. If in that Kansas City game, now the Pats tried to delay the Kansas City game. They fought flying out there. They didn't want to go out there. And the league made them. But they tried to get out of that one too. If Cam Newton were available, but it was Pat Mahomes on the COVID list, do you think they would have fought as hard not to get on that plane to Kansas City? Or they have wheels up, boys, we're going.
Yeah.
No, it would have been the second thing.
Come on.
Yeah, look, all I'm saying, again, I'm not painting him out to be the devil either. I don't think he's that. I think Bill's, but like most football coaches, when it comes to his players, he cares about them, but he also cares about winning, and he has to balance the two. I get it. I'm just saying, let's not go too far in the other direction.
Florence Nightingale. Oh, I love it.
All of a sudden, he's Betsy Ross? Not Betsy Ross. What's her name? Clara Barton.
No, you're right.
Barton, who founded the Red Cross.
That's a Patriot.
Yeah. Betsy Ross made the American flag. Although there are Patriots fans that would give Bill credit for that, too. If you want to know the truth. No, he's Clara Barton.
The stars were his idea.
Yeah, he's Clara Barton. He's got an ambulance in his driveway.
Florence Nightingale. I love it.
Seriously. I wonder what Florence has got planned for the Broncos this week.
There's your Patriots reset. I'll take your calls on that with everything else right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just to be clear, you guys are on track to continue working as normal right now?
Oh, we're on track to play on Sunday.
Okay.
Put it that way.
How do you get a sense for how your players are handling all this uncertainty and all the abrupt changes in the schedule and just, you know, all the changes that you guys have had to deal with the last few days?
Well, Ben, we've been dealing with changes all year. So, you know, we went all the way back to the spring, started the off-season program, virtual meetings, OTAs, mini camp, training camp. So I think we're all in a have gone through this year with a very flexible attitude and understanding that things are going to change and we're going to have to make adjustments. I think that the players, the coaches, the staff, you know, that everybody's handled it, you know, pretty well. I mean, whatever we've had to do, we've done. We've tried to, you know, make the best out of our opportunities, and that's what we're going to continue to do. We know we're going to have to be fluid and flexible. I don't think that's going to change, and so we'll just kind of take it day by day and do the best we can with each opportunity that we get, and if we have to change off our normal routine, what's been normal this year, let's put it that way, then we'll do that. But that's that. Look, that's the way the whole year has gone, so I don't think it'll be any different.
Okay, Belichick this morning. They're supposed to hit the practice field tomorrow, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so we'll see if they come up clean tomorrow morning and they're on the field and maybe get back to some sort of normalcy here with the team. Your thoughts on this and everything else? Back to you, Mike in Nashua. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys. Belichick's no saint, but, man, is he a great coach. I mean, that Kansas City game, you know, if they had a quarterback, they probably would have won. They couldn't, you know, they could have won the Seattle game. I mean, give him his due. He's a great coach.
Sorry, 100%, no doubt. And I think you're seeing it. I think the team has showed well. I think even without the quarterback, they still look and feel like the Patriots.
Yeah.
They had, even though they lost, they had the game plan advantage over Kansas City. They almost pulled out a game in Seattle that they probably had no right almost pulling out. And it's like, I think they still, to me, I mean, if you're a Brady guy, maybe you feel differently. But to me, they still look, feel, smell. They have the same DNA of the Patriots they've had for the last 20 years without the quarterback, and that's a neat trick. I don't know if there's many teams that could do that.
Well, look, the Kansas City game, there was one thing missing.
The quarterback.
Quarterback play. Like, I didn't even tell you, you know, I'm even reluctant to use just the term quarterback. I think it's more about how they played.
No. If you want to get to me about him coaching the X's and O's and the team and how they look, I'm with you. Another great job by him. The thing about him managing the pandemic, because he listened to his players the very weeks he was without his starting quarterback, and it absolutely behooved them to push those games back. And those are the weeks that he listened to his players and said, yeah, you've got a case, go, you know, stage your wildcat strike. I've got your back. Like that one, most coaches would do that. I would do that. Yeah, go nuts, cancel this one. We're porked here without our quarterback. No problem. You want to get it pushed back? I'm with you guys. Like, what does that take?
Yeah, I just told you, I think that part of it has gone way too far.
Scott in the car on the Celtics. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, so in an effort to be objective here, and I think Polinka's a doofus too, but for how many years has it been blown up our skirt as to how good of a team builder Danny Ainge is? And Polinka's won as many championships as Ainge has. So I don't want to hear it from green teamers that, oh, Polinka sucks as a GM when he has as many titles as Danny Ainge.
I just don't think it's Polinka. I think, again, it's clutch sports. Someone emailed me, 6 players on the team have LeBron's agent. So who's the real GM there?
LeBron.
Like, come on.
No, again, I'm telling you, it's LeBron. LeBron runs the league.
I mean, Rondo fit well these couple months. I don't think he's a good fit anywhere because I think he's a major league turd in a punch bowl, and he's a blow up waiting to happen. But he worked well for that team this year. Dwight Howard, I would think, you know, out of nowhere to me, turned into a nice, valuable little piece for him. Played a role. Like, who would have thought, right? He just rebound and, you know, dunk and keep his mouth shut and not be a pain in the ass.
That one hurts. I never in my life thought that guy would win a title.
But again, that comes back to LeBron.
But, you know, he's the ninth guy, Murray. So it's like, right? So it's like in that role, maybe. So, like, and Morris worked out for him. And, like, so they filled out the pieces okay. But I'm telling you, there's 10 guys in the league who could have done what Rondo did. There's another half dozen guys who could have done what Dwight Howard did. They could get anyone to do what Caruso did or any of those ancillary pieces. They're just guys. You can find them anywhere, I think. They're really not hard to find.
No, it's about LeBron. The whole thing's about LeBron. If you don't fit, LeBron will find someone else who does. And if you don't fall in line, LeBron will get rid of you. See, the one nice thing about LeBron, I say one, there's a lot of them. But the hierarchy is clear. It's his team. No gray area. His team. He brings you in. He ships you out. He gets rid of the coach. He fires the GM. LeBron's in charge. End of story. So if you're Dwight Howard, you better stay in line or you're gone.
Jose in Dorchester on the Pats. Hi, Jose.
I wanted to ask you guys what you guys think about the tight end. The Colts got three good ones. What is Bill Belichick waiting for to go get them? Also, A.J. Green said on Sunday to trade him. Why not trade for him? He's a free agent after. If he does good, we franchise him and he signed camp.
Okay, so no, and no on A.J. Green. No. Can't stand that kind of player. I've never liked him. Soft. Ooh, talk about soft. A.J. Green. Hit him once, you never have to worry about him again. Can't stand that kind of receiver. Ugh. The Colts tight ends, you're going to have to fill me in. If they can play, they can play. I'm with Bedard. I've said it a while. I'd rather have a tight end than a receiver. And especially because this, I kind of knew. But Newton works well with the tight end. Does Newton work well with the tight end, or do you just have Olsen, who's freaking amazing and would have worked well with any quarterback?
It feels to me like Newton throws the ball well in the middle of the field. I mean, again, maybe it's a little deeper than what Brady was accustomed to throwing. But based on what we saw in the first couple of weeks, that ball over the middle, he hums that thing pretty good, doesn't he? I mean, you want to tell me it's a slot receiver? Fine, I'll tell you, I'll take the bigger target because I don't think Newton's as accurate as Brady was. I mean, how many guys are? But give me a big target over the middle of the field. I think Newton can work with him.
Tom and Quincy on the Red Sox managerial situation. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, this whole thing with Avokor coming back, I mean, I've said this for a while. I think this was the plan from the get-go, which is why there's never been any managerial talk at all from Bloom. They had Renicky to be a placeholder through this ridiculous thing they call the baseball season, right? So they knew they'd suffer and weather the storm, mail it in for this year. No Cora will be back. Even when Bloom had that Zoom call a couple weeks ago, he was asked about it. He was asked about Cora, and he wouldn't put it to bed. He just said he couldn't talk because he hasn't talked to Alex. And the only freaking reason he said that is because Cora is still under suspension until after the World Series. So it will not surprise me one bit that the day after the World Series, that Cora is announced to come back.
Do you think, Tommy, thanks for the call, do you think Bloom wants Alex Cora?
I think that, how do I phrase this? I think that when the Red Sox...
A yes or no question.
Yeah. but I also think it was made clear to him that Cora was the guy when he took the job. You follow me? So in other words, I think decision was made before him before he even got here.
What a sham.
Then this whole thing happened, and, you know, Cora wanted Bloom. I think it's almost the other way around.
Hmm.
So now they're trying to make it look like Bloom wants Cora.
Why does Cora want Bloom?
Because he likes the analytics.
Yeah, it's true.
White Sox, sweep in and just swoop in and hire him before this can happen. It's all I want.
So it sounds like the White Sox want
the other cheater,
AJ Hinch. Yeah, it sounds like the White Sox want AJ Hinch. Cora would be a good fit there, though. He'd be a good fit there. So I think it's a bad job. And I can tell you that based on everything I read and everything I hear, people around baseball think that Cora to the Red Sox is
done deal.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the bag.
They'd be surprised if it wasn't Cora. So I think the Red Sox are taking the approach they're taking now. And by the way, the White Sox won't say anything about Hinch and Cora either, at least publicly, for the same reason. They're suspended and you can't. So they're keeping their mouths shut. But I think part of the reason the Red Sox are playing it the way they are is they want to make it look like Bloom's making the decision. And the fact is, Cora was here before Bloom. So if Bloom brings him back now, It's because ownership told them they want him back, which I think was in play from the beginning. Now, do I know that? No. So if someone other than Cora gets the job, I'll be surprised.
And now here comes Billy Bean on top of it all. So, interesting. Here comes Murray's update. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's all stupid. And it's just, it was conceit and arrogance on the part of the NFL that they thought they were going to be, despite going into cold and flu season, during their season, they thought they were just going to play all 16 games in 17 weeks and deal with the schedule. It was all stupid and arrogant. I could just hear the owners on a conference call now in probably August saying, like, we're not having any fans in the stands, so we're getting all that TV money. It's just dumb. They're playing catch up. They came out with new protocols today, which basically they are going to respect the incubation period. Finally, thank you, where basically, if there's a positive test and there are close contacts, those players and coaches, and this also involves coaches, because what happened with Kansas City, I know you guys were all on the, and it's taken a little bit out of context, saying, oh, well, just coincidentally, the Patriots didn't leave Gilmore home. Well, if they left Gilmore home, they would have also had to leave home Joe Tooney, some more centers. There were about 20 players and coaches who had close contacts with Cam Newton before that game, so they couldn't just leave Gilmore home. They would have had to leave all 20 people or whoever on that second plane.
So Greg Bedard, a little snippet of Bedard, big boy stint from earlier. Catch a whole 2 hours online, 98.5thesportsup.com or the app. He's still on the league, as most of you are, ignoring the fact that it all started with Cam Newton. It didn't start with the league, but we've been over that the last couple of days. You can continue to weigh in if you want. We'll zip through your calls here before we hit the final word. Chris in Worcester has been waiting patiently on the Pats as well. Hi, Chris. What do you got?
Thanks, guys. I wanted to yell at you both, Felger and Maz, because you jumped on Bedard about McDaniel's role in the offense. I was going to sing to you, I think, Felger, I hate you, and Maz, you're a boo, because, guys, he was right. I think McDaniels is running this offense. He's running this for a reason. We talked about this early in the season. This is a big thing for McDaniels and going forward for his next coaching job, Atlanta, Houston. Maybe you guys could pick another team he might be good for. But I think you guys were wrong to jump on. I think he is running the offense more so than Bill. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, at some point I hope to find out. I hope at some point Josh McDaniels gets his own job, and we can see what he does with his own two hands in his own time. And we've seen a little bit of it. The sample has been small and not good for him. I mean, he did start out 6-0 with Kyle Orton, I think, in Denver that year, right?
Yeah.
But then it went quickly downhill, and then he became offensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams with Sam Bradford, and they had the worst offense in the league.
Correct.
So that's our only real sample we have of Josh without Bill. I just think it's cleaner and easier to say Bill gets the credit, Bill gets the blame. It's certainly easier. But I think Josh is a good coach, and I think that part of Cam Newton's success, part of Garoppolo's success, part of Brissett's success, part of Matt Castle's success, because Josh was here for that, I think. Was he here in 08? Yes, he was. He was here in 08. He got that job, I think, right after for the 09 season, is partly Josh and his coaching. I sort of begin and end with Bill. I'm sorry.
Look, when you're talking about a personality as big as him and someone who's as much of a control freak, and again, I don't say it as a criticism as much as a reality. That's how it's going to work. He has final say in everything. So the McDaniels thing, now that I think about it this year, you could argue that in a lot of ways, the most impressive game was either Seattle or KC. I mean, the mistakes that were made in Kansas City, they were in position to score. Those were Hoyer mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I mean, the offense, given what they had Hoyer at quarterback.
Well, can I blame him for the last play call in Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, I mean, if that's what we're going to do, but I, you know, too often you credit Bill, but blame Josh, or sort of the other way around. Sure. And it's like, you know, you don't really know. Bill's on the headset. He could approve that call, veto that call. He can make the call himself. He's made plenty of them. Defense, offense, all the way around. So ultimately it goes through him. So he gets the blame and he gets the credit. That's sort of how I look at it.
Yeah, me too. Again, I blame Bill for that final play in Seattle. But the play calling in Kansas City, I thought was pretty good.
Here's my buddy Rocco and Saugus on the Celts. Hi, Rocco.
Yeah, listen, can I switch it up? I was going to talk about Danny Ainge, but I just want to talk about that Brady-Bears game last Thursday. So there was nothing really worse than watching that game besides, you know, watching that game being drunk. And that's what I was. I was watching that game drunk, and I'm glad I missed the last call because, you know, one more beer, one more drink in me, I would have cried. It was like seeing someone that you truly love. Because I have, you know, a soft spot for Brady, 20 years, guys. Preach. You know, six championships. So I was going to cry leaving the bar. And I'm glad my friend's like, no, last. Don't take another drink, bro. We're good. But listen, you know, that offensive line suck. They just don't suck. They really suck. They're going to get that kid killed.
No. Between Arians and his scheme and that line, they're going to get Brady killed. But it was a sad moment for the Bradyites. How do you feel about Brady making fun of himself this week? Didn't he put like a with LeBron holding up the four, and then Brady? I didn't even bother to look at it, but he made some sort of
parallel that he and the two of them are old men still, you know, playing at a very high level. Basically,
no, I thought it was he was making fun of the four downs. He couldn't count to four downs.
Now he had the four rings. You see, so that's why he used his body holding up the four, but he put LeBron's head over it.
I thought again. I should have looked at it. I thought he was making fun of himself for losing track of the downs. Or making fun of himself for blowing it in that moment, which would be even be sadder. The ultimate competitor is, you know, so okay losing that he makes a meme or whatever the hell he did about it.
It's all about the brand, right? I mean, I think that is truly the most important thing to him, unfortunately, at this point in his career. It's the brand. And see, he's self-deprecating. It's a new side of Brady we haven't seen
before. Well, don't be self-deprecating about losing.
And if he is doing that, I would say it's further evidence that the Buccaneers have soaked into his skin.
Viral load. He's taking a viral load of Buccaneer down there, and now it's okay to lose and make fun. Ha ha, yeah. I lost track of the downs, and we lost. Isn't that funny?
ESPN did their power rankings today. The Bucs were ranked 12th, and with each team, they also mentioned their biggest weakness. What do you think that Tampa Bay's was to them?
Offensive line.
Discipline.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's Mike,
coaching.
Mike in the truck on the Pats. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Belichick could have very easily thrown out his usual generic answer of we're going to do what's best for the team, and that would have covered both sides of this thing. We can do what's best for the team on the field. We'll do what's best for the team health and safety-wise. He didn't do that this time, and really I think what it is he wanted the better optic. You know, he's going to get an actual quarterback back on the field, but he also looks like a hero to the rest of the team.
Yep.
Right.
Win-win. Absolutely. They aligned perfectly.
No, totally.
It made it very easy for him to be on the side of a player revolt because he got to push back games where his starting quarterback wouldn't be on the field. Like, the fact that people leave that out to me is just mind-numbing.
Oh, it's comical. Please, again, he snookered everybody. All of a sudden, it's, yeah, Bill's got a heart. No, he does. He really does.
He's like the Grinch.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. You just wouldn't know it. He doesn't show it to people because he's not like that.
It grew.
But he's got a big heart.
Two sizes
people who
too
know
small.
Him say he's a good guy, and he's got a real good sense of humor.
Here's Joe in Vermont on the infamous Stephon Gilmore Cam Newton dinner. There was developments on this story today. We'll give them to you in a second. First, Joe in Vermont, what do you got?
Well, I mean, Bill's got a heart. It's just small and black. But anyway, I just wonder if Schefter didn't tweet that thing because Gilmore's wife said, yeah, no, they're getting along great. Team chemistry is awesome. They're at dinner tonight. But, you know, Bill doesn't need to know that.
So you've confused me.
Me too. I don't know what he's talking about. And for those that don't know what he's saying, the report out there by Schefter that Gilmore and Newton had dinner together two Friday nights ago. Gilmore's wife tweeted out today that reports about them eating out are inaccurate.
Then, of course, Jimmy Stewart's phone got immediately involved and tweeted at her. And have you gotten any responses, Jimmy?
I have not.
What did you ask her?
I quote tweeted her and said, if there's, quote, no dinner out, unquote, then what happened? What's the full story here?
You know, and I do think that whole thing could use some reporting. You know, as opposed to just taking the
No, what Bill said is the truth.
No, it's like, is anyone actually going to dig a little bit on that one? I mean, I could do it, but I'm too busy facilitating here. I can't. I'm just not available. But, you know,
Why am I the only person who asked this question?
At least someone asked the question. Back in the day, I would have been sent to his apartment in the Seaport or, one of our...
Where is Byron Barnett from Channel 7 going to the Gilmore household to find out?
Oh, not just the household, but the Seaport to start interviewing busboys, waiters, maitre d's, etc., valet attendants. It's time to start asking some questions and just get a little bit of intel on what this was. Was it just those two? Was it any kind of team dinner? Were those 20 close? You know, this, I think, is an interesting piece to it. The 20 close contacts of Newton that were on that plane, was that contacts in the building or were they outside the building? You know, Bedard said that he thinks that Tooney was on that plane. McDaniels was on that plane, which would make sense. The center or guard, who Newton's breathing on and, you know, basically got his hand up his ass
the whole time.
Right? And McDaniels, who's right, could be face-to-face with him. There were thoughts that Bill was on the plane, then the team clarified that he wasn't. So, but were those close contacts of Newton purely on campus? Or was there an off-campus thing? And was it dinner, Mrs. Gilmore, or was it something else, or what? Like, can we do a... Like, I think it's all... Like, I think everything's on the table. But I'm certainly not going to say, oh, the team says it's nothing, so it's nothing.
Yeah.
You're making it up. Well, no, you know, the team can easily lie and massage this as well. They do it very well, which they should do. I'm not blaming them for it. But, I mean, really? Like, how about...
No, you have to take it as gospel, because see?
because Stephon Gilmore's wife...
Get out of here.
...said it was inaccurate that they were at dinner?
Yeah, I'll read you the exact quote. 5 hours ago, so just before we came on the program here at Felger & Mans, a little before, Gabrielle Gilmore, there was no dinner out. I'm going to help you out so you guys stop reporting false news.
Okay, so help us out.
Yeah, so Jimmy...
That's not really much of a help other than
saying,
that's
business.
Not true.
Okay, so again, there was no dinner out. If we broke this thing down literally, did they have dinner in?
Yeah. Okay, did you not eat? Did you have drinks? Did they maybe have drinks and appetizers? How about a late night dessert? You didn't have the dinner, but did you have other things surrounding it?
Maybe it was lunch. Maybe it was breakfast. I don't know. But Jimmy, I love the fact that Jimmy tweeted her directly. Would you call it again? What tweeted her? At tweeted her?
Quote tweeted her. That means that I put my question above her tweet.
He quote tweeted her.
By the way, she has a latest tweet. Okay. My mentions are going too fast. What happened? ? Was it something I said? Woozy emoji face.
What does the woozy emoji face mean?
Mean like her head spinning.
Ah.
So she's getting a lot of mentions.
Pretty direct question here.
Yeah, right.
So listen,
if you're going to act like Anna Horford, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen.
I'm telling you, Cam Newton will tell us. He feels like, you know, whether he's doing the team Zoom or the radio thing, like I think he'll tell us. And he may fudge it or, you know, but I think he'll answer the question. I don't know about Steph Gilmore. I mean, he's feeling like a pretty quiet guy. And from everything that I hear, like, did Zoe say this week he doesn't even drink? I mean, like, which I would buy. Like, I feel like a pretty... you know, understated sort of like
boring.
Boring, you know, certainly for that position. Usually guys at that position are ass kickers,
right?
You know, big talking butt kickers. And he feels like an understated sort of solid pro. Like I don't feel like he's a carouser. Newton, you know, feels like a little carousery to me. He does. Like, I mean, certainly, you know, he was getting after on that Odell Beckham thing. I mean,
cigars.
Oh yeah. Wine and cigars.
I felt like he was buzzing pretty good in that thing. And he's a single guy, I think. And so, like, who knows? Who knows? But we can do a little reporting on that, can't we? Sniffing around?
Nope. So, see? No. Mind your own business.
Neil in North Reading, wrap us up with a Red Sox thought from Maz.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, Maz, I want to know what you think of my suggestions for free agents the Red Sox should make a serious priority in going after.
Okay, who?
So, for the starting rotation, a good breaking ball pitcher to complement your fastball pitcher is Trevor Bauer. And then for the bullpen, Alex Colom and Liam Hendricks.
Okay, so I don't know a lot about Hendricks. I like Bauer, but I'm not giving him a big contract, and I don't think he's a true ace, despite the year he had. And who was the other one, Colom? I mean, the bullpen guys, you can, you know, You throw them on a pile, as far as I'm concerned, except for a few select ones. So Bauer is the most obvious available starting pitcher. He's going to cost a fortune.
Oh, he'd be great. He was at it again. The Dodgers lose last night. What does he tweet today, Murray?
What was today's here? A bunch of eye emojis, like, look at this. At Dodgers are short on starting pitching right now. Right now. You don't say. He's just continuing to just needle all the fans.
Because Kershaw's out tonight. So he's tweeting at the Dodgers, hey, you need help.
Every big market team, he's named
That's
them all.
Awesome. All right, final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. It's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Let me just say real quick here, Murray. I have some bad news to pass along. My phone just chirped, so I just got this within the last 2 minutes. I don't really have much to say because I just got the news, but our good friend and Boston's good friend, Jake Kennedy, passed away this afternoon. From what I understand, he was diagnosed with ALS late last year and had a real rapid decline from what I think we can all agree is one of our most insidious diseases, if not the most insidious disease that we have here on the planet. And so Jake Kennedy succumbed to it today. And I think, thoughts and prayers and all of our love go out to Sparky, his wife, and the Kennedy family. He is truly, you won't hear me say this often, but a great, great Bostonian is what he was. One of the great people I've ever met in this city in my 30 years here. As charitable a person as I've ever known and as good of a family as I've ever known here in Boston. And it's heartbreaking that Jake Kennedy has passed this afternoon from ALS. So send a prayer to the Kennedy family and send some donations to whatever ALS fund you want to send to, because it is, that is our worst disease, just about the worst one that we have. And there are some awful, awful ones out there, but that one, that is a bugger. So anyway, and maybe we'll have more to say on that later on in the week, but we just got the news.
I mean, I met him through you and Christmas in the city. And when you say there are givers and takers in the world, he's a giver. He's a giver.
My interactions were only really through the show, but you know, you got to tell you that's a good man.
Well, and he's genuine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a genuine person. And I think his wife and kids were the same based on my limited interaction with them, and our thoughts to them for sure.
With that, Greg Bedard was in earlier today, as he normally is, at least via Zoom, it being a Big Boy Tuesday. And with that comes the 10 questions for Greg Bedard.
On that note, make me laugh with the big boy.
The hem and the hawn, the being mad. Here's Bedard and the 10 questions.
How does that taste?
Like dog food.
Number 10, Greg, was Dak Prescott smart or dumb to turn down the Cowboys' 5-year, $175 million offer last offseason?
Well, he'll get it right back.
But he won't.
Number 9, rank them. Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Bridgewater, Garoppolo, and Goff.
Ooh, I'm doing the opposite. Ooh.
I will go Bridgewater, Goff, Italian Goff.
Ooh. Mike Zimmer said he'd do it again on fourth down. He'd go for it again in Seattle. Your thoughts on that?
He's a moron.
All he has going for him is his busty Instagram girlfriend. Look her up.
Ooh. Looks like the Steelers have another good young receiver. What's their secret at the position, and why does Bill suck at it?
Well, I think hope it works, but a lot of times it does not work.
No, Greg got it right.
Should Matt Ryan be on the trading block right now, and who should trade for him?
I would trade Ryan to the 49ers.
Great one.
If you had to take one running back in the league right now, who would it be? One running back.
Kamara. I just think he's the best
everything.
Prior to last night, get this, the league-wide passer rating was 93.7. Meaning every quarterback in every game, every pass, 93.7. If that were one player in a single season, that would rank 13th all-time ahead of Joe Montana. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Question.
I don't even remember.
Having the time of his life.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.